Auckland Council has released an ambitious proposal to reduce the city's transport emissions by two-thirds over the next 8 years. The transport emissions reduction pathway will encourage people to use public transport, cycle or walk if they're travelling under 6 kilometres. It also aims to convert 30% of the city's vehicles to electric and to make buses, trains and ferries low emission. The Auckland Mayor, Phil Goff, says transport is the single biggest source of carbon pollution, accounting for more than 40% of the region's emissions. However, Auckland business groups, including the Auckland Business Chamber of Commerce, Employers and Manufacturers Association Northern, the Ports of Auckland, Vector, the AA Auckland District, are already questioning the lack of detail in the plan, its costs and the impact on the region's economy. Richard Hills is an Auckland councillor and the chair of the Environment and Climate Change Committee. Kia ora, Richard.
Kia ora, how's it going?
Good, thanks. So the plan is to reduce emissions by 64% in just 8 years. How was this figure reached?
Yeah, so the figure was reached through Te Tariki o Tawhiri, Auckland's climate plan, which we approved unanimously by all councillors and all local boards 2 years ago. And that was worked with businesses, with Mana Whenua, with I think we've got 80% support from Aucklanders who said that this is the only way we will reduce our emissions by half by 2030, which is to be in line with our C40 goals and the Paris goals as well that the government and New Zealand has signed up to. Essentially, we all have to do this. It's very, very difficult, but this sort of starts to set up the pathway of how to do that. Obviously, in the 2 years since we signed Te Tariki o Tawhiri, our climate plan, we also had a pandemic, so it's given us a few bumps in the road, shall we say, but essentially this is a way forward to deal with the catastrophic climate change that we're seeing, you know, not only in New Zealand, but across the world, with Europe melting at the moment and record floods here in New Zealand again. The wettest July, I think, we just had, the fourth hottest July, and then we've had just come through 3 years of drought as well. So we know we have to do this. The pathway is obviously around the things we all know, public transport, walking and cycling. It's about Auckland Council and the government stepping up and actually providing options for people.
Okay, so can we get into some of the specifics, Richard? Because that's already where a number of groups you'll have seen this morning have come out and said there is no plan here. So can we get into some of the specifics first on at least the areas where you believe these improvements can happen? How is it going to affect your citizens?
Yeah, so the big areas we're focusing on is those, as you said, half of all trips in Auckland are under 6 kilometres and a third are under 2 kilometres. So we already do have plans and funding in place for things like safer speeds around schools. You know, the big area we can focus on is getting kids walking and cycling to school more. I know that was very normal when I was a kid 30 years ago, but now not so much. It's about 3% of kids do that. So focusing in that area. You've got big projects that are already underway, like the City Rail Link, which in 2 years will obviously has the capacity to more than double the numbers of people there. The Eastern Busway is underway. We've just recently opened a big upgrade to the Northern Busway. But it does take what we've just approved with our climate action targeted rate. That will bring 69 improved bus routes plus 10 brand new frequent routes, which brings 1 million people in 500 metres of a frequent bus.
Okay. Richard, we're just going to switch you to phone. I'm sorry to the audience and I'm sorry to you to do this, but we're just going to switch you to a better phone line. I'm speaking to Richard Hills. We're talking about the transport emissions reduction pathway that has just been released by Auckland Council. This is an ambitious proposal to reduce the city's transport emissions by two-thirds over the next 8 years. As Richard has been setting out, it's got 11 areas for change, including much greater use of public transport and the prioritisation and resourcing of sustainable transport, reducing travel where possible and appropriate, making neighbourhoods safer with less traffic, putting things closer to where people live, electrifying private vehicles, encouraging walking and cycling, enabling new transport options, making buses, trains and ferries low emissions, making freight and services cleaner and more efficient, enabling Aucklanders to make more sustainable transport choices. Richard, welcome back. I guess the question is, that's a series of headlines. How does it convert from a series of headlines to actions? For example, converting 30% of the city's vehicles to electric, especially commercial ones, is there going to be funding for this? Is there going to be some kind of tax to stimulate a change? How's it going to happen?
Yeah, so that it's a pathway to the goal. So essentially, we've been working with the government already. They've got plans for EVs. We are rapidly changing out our own fleet, and we know working with businesses, they're doing the same. The government's plans, you know, obviously involve pretty significant buy-up of EVs, and we're looking around the world. You're looking at England, the UK, they're banning the purchase of petrol and diesel vehicles by 2030. So cars aren't going to be made just for New Zealand. So this is a plan. This is not a budget from council. This is Auckland's plan that we've consulted with everyone on, so including Waka Kotahi and others. This basically puts up the challenge to everyone. If we are serious about reducing our emissions, this is what we have to do. And then from here, we have ATAP and the RLTP in the next 2 years with the government, which then can help start changing that. But I guess I was talking about the things that are already...
Just pause. Are you also intimating that it will be central government actions that might give a nudge to some of this?
Oh, absolutely. We can't... Auckland Council, we raise about 3 to 5% of the total income of public money. The government raises about 95%. They have their own emissions reduction plan. They've asked us to do our own as well. And we've done Te Tariki e Tawhiti, Auckland's climate plan, and that's on behalf of all Aucklanders, and we worked with all, you know, Aucklanders who wanted to be engaged with that.
Is it utterly dependent on the government using carrot and stick to nudge behaviour change? Does it not happen if that doesn't happen?
Yes, as you see internationally with every other city, you have to do all of those things. You've got the government who are looking at congestion charging, and I think that's cross-party, every party and government are supporting that, but we're saying that we need desperate help to improve our public transport system. But I guess with the climate action targeted rate we only passed a couple months ago, I was talking about those are some of the big actions, and there we've funded decarbonisation of our bus fleet, and we've just secured funding for 6 to 7 EV or low emission ferries. We've just got 156 EV buses on order, or being they should be here within the next 6 months. So there are big things happening, but that is not the be all and end all. There's a lot to do, and the government's asking us to do this, business is asking us to do this, and the next generation is kind of demanding we don't keep heating up the world and leaving them or the next generation to deal with.
Can you speak more about reducing traffic in neighbourhoods? How is that to happen?
Yeah, so it is about making it safer. We've got a safe speeds plan with the government has recently changed rules around what we can do around arterial routes. We've got schools everywhere begging us for crossings and improved footpaths. I can think of significant projects that have happened recently in my local ward, but there's got to be a lot more in that area because kids and parents don't feel safe walking and cycling to school. So we're going to have to change that ability. But it's also, as we've seen through COVID, people working from home once or twice a week actually makes a big difference to emissions. We're not telling people to leave their car at home every day. We're talking about those small changes you can make personally, but also government and council have to change the way our city looks and our city acts. And we are doing that with the significant funding in, say, the Eastern Busway, the City Rail Link, the upgrades to the Northwestern Busway, which is just starting at the moment. Like we saw with the Northern Busway in 2008, when it opened, there was between 600 and 800,000 trips a year. Just before COVID, we got up to 8.5 million. So that's a tenfold increase in just over 10 years. And people said people on the North Shore would never use the bus. We have to invest in projects like that, but also the smaller projects like we've just invested in the climate action targeted rate, which are around those bus routes and making those current bus routes more frequent. But even down to things like the government's just reviewed and changed PTOM.
Let's just explain why that is. That's the system by which you run buses, right? The councils run buses, run buses.
So they're enabling us to potentially take public ownership eventually of routes or buses, like we've just done with some of our ferry routes. But also it means that we can finally look at better ways to fund transport, because at the moment the system from government forces us to increase fares to fund new public transport, which generally has always been counterintuitive, because you increase fares, people are less likely to take public transport. But to make it better,
you have to increase fares because of the law. That is now changing and will be changed and will allow us to fund transport differently. And if we can continue to work with the government as right now with the half price fares, that's starting to increase the use of public transport. It's also starting to increase the use of public transport on the weekends. I think at the moment our ferries are 130% of what they were,
okay.
30% more before COVID in the weekends, which means people are deciding to use public transport differently if it's good enough to use.
Richard, the Auckland Business Forum, as we said out this morning, Chamber of Commerce, employers, manufacturers, national road carriers, asking some fairly obvious questions, which is the lack of detail in the plan. But listening to you, a lot of what you're talking about appears aligned to whatever central government does and dependent on whatever central government does. If you do not get what? The financial support that you're talking about with respect to public transport, if there are not whatever regulatory or other carrot and stick moves people towards electric vehicle uptake, etc., if that doesn't happen, does the Auckland plan not happen? Or is there something else that the council is specifically working on and will specifically announce?
No, there's no, this is... We cannot do this on our own. And look, our goals are also the government's goals and the country's goals around reducing emissions. We have to do our bit. That Auckland's emissions are also New Zealand's emissions, and the government is looking at a net zero plan, and they've got bipartisan support for that as well. So it's we're all trying to do our bit. It is very, very difficult. But people are demanding us. Every time we do a study or a plan, between 60, 70, 80% of people say they want dramatic action. They just don't know how to do it. So there will be incremental change, but some of it will have to change quickly. We, as a council, don't have power over EVs, but what we're saying is that if the country and city wants to reduce our emissions, this is the types of pathways to get there. So the government can go, okay, that's cool. What if we fund you a bit more in public transport, which they have done. 6 years ago, we had a $20 billion transport plan. Now we have a $32 billion transport plan. We do need more investment from government, but as I was saying, we just passed $1 billion climate action targeted rate, which will also help this kind of thing. So I guess I'm trying to say we are putting forward big actions, but also we do need more support.
Final point on business. You mentioned businesses are asking you to do this. There are some fairly big representative business lobby groups this morning saying, and I'm quoting here, reducing vehicle travel by 50% would deal a massive blow to economic activity and social connectivity, especially if new charges are applied over and above congestion pricing to get people out of cars, which is exactly what government and Auckland Transport says will be required. The impact would be crippling. Have you looked at the economic impact? Yes, there is a massive economic impact out of climate and climate change, but have you looked specifically at the economic impact of what it would take to achieve this plan?
So the economic impact over all of the country of not acting is about 3% of GDP, but acting is about 1%. But the issue is around congestion as well, a co-benefit of reducing those smaller trips we see in the school holidays when, you know, businesses are saying, yay, there's no congestion because not everyone's driving their kids to school. The fact is congestion is crippling us. It's costing about $2 or $3 billion in Auckland a year to have congestion. So we're saying that if we can free up the road space by more people on buses, more people being able to choose to walk and cycle in their local area because it's safe to, then you're going to have spaces on the road freed up for freight, spaces on the road freed up for business. And businesses are rapidly changing out their fleets for electric. And we've got businesses signed up to the Climate Leaders Coalition in Auckland. All the major players are there. I've been in meetings where they're all looking at the ways that they can reduce their emissions. There's, from this year, I think, there's 200 of the NZX 50 businesses who have to kind of put out there what their ways they're reducing their emissions. So it's everyone's doing their bit. Business, often I talk to business, they say we're too slow. Council and government are too slow on climate. And the world is telling us that we have to change. So this is not a secret. We worked with business on Te Tātaki and Tawhiti, and we had good support through the Climate Leaders Coalition, which is a large number of major businesses in Auckland as well. So we haven't gone down, this is not a nitty-gritty budget document, but this is to show everyone the direction we're heading. And it's that's been the direction we're supposed to have been heading for the last 30 years.
Thank you, Richard Hills, Auckland Councillor, Chair of the Environment and Climate Change Committee.